Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have tonight. And Father, I thank you that you are here in our midst. Father, we thank you that as the Word of God comes forth tonight, Lord, I thank you that you have something for each and every one of us. Father, I thank you that as we open our hearts to be receptive, as we open our ears to be attentive, Lord God, you're going to speak a word in us tonight, Lord God, that will produce healing, that will help us to grow strong in faith, Lord God, and help us to grow closer to you. Father, I thank you for every household represented in this room. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in all of our lives, and we praise you for your faithfulness and your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's hold up our Bibles. We're going to make our family confession tonight. If you don't have a Bible, hold up your hand in faith. We have Bibles in the back that you can use. But let's all say it together. Say, this is my Bible. All right, guys, y'all, come on. It's gloomy outside. Let's say it like we really know that this is our Bible. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's Word to me.
It's God's Word to me.
It strengthens me.
It strengthens me.
It refreshes me.
It
It's medicine to me,
and I love to read my Bible.
Do you believe that, or are you just saying that because the bossy guy's asking you to say that? All right. No, I really believe we have to be bold about our faith. We have to be bold about what we believe in. We have to be bold about everything when it comes to the things of God. Why? Because that's what faith is. There's a boldness about faith. There's an aggressiveness about faith. You don't have to run roughshod. You don't have to scream and shout, but you do have to have grit when it comes to faith. And when we make confessions like that, that this is my Bible, and God's speaking to me, he's strengthening me, he's refreshing me, he's bringing healing to my body from this Bible, what you're saying is I trust you, Lord, in all these areas. And so I want to just challenge you and encourage you in the weeks ahead when we make a confession, let's be bold about it and just declare it openly and loudly. You know, we want Miss Janet and Miss Joy to say, hey, can you calm down a little bit, okay? All right. You know, tonight I wanted to talk about something. I titled it Healing Choices. But in our healing journey, one of the things that you're going to find is choices matter. And as I was putting this together, I got to thinking about one of my favorite places to go. I love going to Colorado. You know, we're actually a house divided. My wife loves the beach. I love the mountains. But one of the reasons I love to go to Colorado, where we go specifically, one of the places I like to stop off and just spend some time is where the Continental Divide is in Colorado. It's always interested me, you know, how the water can flow in two different directions. That's amazing. I mean, it makes no sense to me, but it's just amazing. It's also amazing how, if you think about it, how two drops of water can enter the water at the same time, and one can go west and flow into the Colorado River and empty out into the Pacific Ocean, and another can go, you know, to the east and flow out through the Gulf of Mexico out into the Atlantic Ocean. It just interests me how that happens. And I got to thinking about when it comes to choices in life, there are alternatives. You know, there's always two alternatives. You can go to the Lord, close to where he is, or go towards the word, or you can go away from it. And so I want to look at the passage we've been looking at for the last several weeks and really unpack this whole concept of choice. But tonight, before we get started, the card on your notes there, tonight's card, Choose to Live, Fight, that's something I want you to really get on the inside of you. It says in Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. We have to choose life. We have to always choose life. Every day, choose life. No matter the diagnosis, choose life. And I want you to get that on the inside of you, that today I choose life. Tomorrow when you get up, today I choose life. The next day you get up, today I choose life. You get a diagnosis, today I choose life. That has to be in all of us at all times, no matter what's going on in our lives.
Amen.
So let's turn in, together in our Bibles. I want to look at Mark chapter 5. And I want to read in verse 35. This is very hard for me because one of my favorite people in the Bible is the woman with the issue of blood. Tonight, I'm not going to get a chance to talk about her. We're going to talk about the other guy. Even though the story starts out about him, I've always loved the woman with the issue of blood. But tonight, we're going to talk about Jairus a little bit. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verses 35 through 42. Well, let me just back up here. So we've read the story several weeks. Jairus comes and he says to Jesus that his daughter is sick and dying and said that if you'll come, he knows she'll be made well. And on the way towards his home, we've read also how the woman with the issue of blood comes up behind Jesus, receive her healing. And this is where we pick up the story tonight. Verse 32, or 35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, and when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him, and they entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement. So we see here the story, a lot of things have taken place. One of the things before we get to where you are in your notes, I want to just unpack some things that I observe. One of the things I have the honor to do here at the church is on Tuesday nights we teach faith school, and I know some people who've been to faith school, and I'm very, very strong in my belief that when you're reading the Word of God, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, it's a slow walk. And we need to really become more intentional as believers about taking our time and really internalize what it is that we're reading, because as you internalize it, you get clarity, you get more understanding, you're able to hear what the Lord is speaking to you and in the story. And so one of the things that I wanted to do tonight is really bring a resource that we use in faith school here tonight and encourage you to use this. And so that's that second piece of paper that's on your table. It's a concept that I learned here at the church when I first came called soap journaling. And it basically is this. As you're reading a scripture, a passage, as you're reading the word, is there a scripture, is there something in the story that resonates with your spirit, that jumps out, that really speaks to you as you're spending time with that? If so, stop. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you understanding? Write that down. Now, don't stop there, but how does this apply to my life? The application. So we found the scripture, we found the passage, we're spending time observing it, understanding it. Now we're putting it into practice or putting down some steps of how we can apply it to our life, and now we just write out a prayer. I call it a prayer of commitment. Lord, thank you that this week I'll walk this out, I'll do this, I'll implement this. And you'll be amazed at how the Word of God begins to reside on the inside of you, build your faith, encourage you as you begin to apply this simple tool in your everyday reading. So what I want to do is model this here from this story, picking up in verse 35. So in verse 35, the scripture read, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler's house and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So as I read that, I was like, okay. It says, as he was speaking, I got to pondering. I'm like, God, do you still speak today? The answer is yes. He does still speak today. In fact, and I encourage you to write this scripture down, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is alive and active. God's word is still speaking today. It's alive and active. In James 14:26, the Bible reminds us that we have a helper, The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of you. And one of his jobs is to speak to us the truth. So God's word is still speaking today. And if we'll slow down and tune in, we'll be able to hear his word. Also from verse 35, what I realized, it says, while he was speaking, some others from his house, they came and they told a different story. They said, why trouble the teacher? Your daughter, she's already dead. My note here is there will always be a competing voice. You have God's truth, and there's always something else that's competing with God's truth. You have God's truth and the world's facts. You have God's truth and the enemy's lies. So understand going in, I have to know what is God's voice. I have to know what are God's words to be able to determine which one to listen to. And then the final thing from verse 35 is this. Jesus is saying one thing. These people come from the house, and I just made a note here. I've got to choose to have people around me who are full of faith. People that are speaking the same things that he's speaking. If we go down to verse 36, I love it. Jesus responds after they said what they said, and he says one thing. He says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Psalms 118:6, not in your notes, write that down. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. If God's on our side, we don't have anything to fear, guys. That's a choice. Amen. Isaiah 12:2, not in your notes, says, behold, God, my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. Why? Because you, Lord God, are my strength and my song. It's another choice. And then Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Don't look around. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you, and I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Amen. So we have nothing to be afraid of. The one you came to in the beginning, who you said out of your own mouth could come and heal your daughter, is the same one you're standing with who can still come and heal your daughter. All of you are here tonight in healing class. Why? Because you believe Jesus is the healer. Stay there. Hold on to that. Don't let go of that. And then he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. One of the things I wrote down here is I said, sometimes we have to remind ourselves who we're with. Like we have to remember who he is. Think about it. He is the one who went to the cross, who allowed his body to be broken so mine doesn't have to be. Think about it. He is the one who tasted death. The Bible says death lost its sting, so you and I don't have to. We have to remember who it is that we're with. Contrary to those competing voices, we're with Jesus the healer. Amen. The one who heals always. Verse 37. He says, and he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. Now look at what I'm doing. I'm breaking this out. He permitted no one else to follow him. Sometimes you and I are going to have to disconnect from some people who don't have faith. I love that. Jesus was like, okay, you can't go, you can't go. Peter, you can come. You can't go, you can't go. Sometimes we're going to have to do that. I'm believing God for a healing. I'm believing God. God is at work already bringing about a healing and a cure. Well, you know, the facts say, you know what? You can't go with me. We have to make that choice. Does that make sense, guys? Yes. We have to make that choice. Then verse 38 and 39, this is one of my favorite pieces of this. Verse 38, 39, it says, then he came to the house. He said, and he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why are you making all this commotion?" My encouragement to you as I read this is don't give in to the emotions. Amen. Don't give in to the emotions. They are going to try to overwhelm you. They are going to try to overtake you. But don't give in to the emotions. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith. Trust and belief. Being fully persuaded, being confident that Jesus is the healer. But not only that, Jesus is the healer for me. Can I be honest with you? The emotions are going to come, but don't let them stay. We have to use the Word of God to hold them back. Just like tonight, we started off and we said, "This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. It strengthens me." That might be all you have, and I would encourage you, walk around your house with your Bible, saying it loudly. What's going to happen? Eventually, the emotions subside. They're going to go. Don't give in to them, because it's not going to help you. And then in verse 40, if you jump down there, it says, "And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered into where the child was." You and I, we only want those around us who agree with us and have faith with us. That's who we want around us. Now, I don't know how this is going to land, but I'm going to try it anyways. So, as a parent of three adults now, one of the toys I hated the most was Legos. Because for whatever reason, my kids would never do a good job of cleaning them up, and I would always, late at night, step on Legos barefoot, and that doesn't feel good. Then when I would try to clean set Legos up, my son had this gift of building these structures that somehow they wouldn't come apart. But I got to thinking about this, and let's talk about this. We're talking about having the right people around us. So if this is my faith, and then I have Miss Janet around me, and this is her faith, and then we have Miss Joy around us, and this is her faith. Then I got Becky with me. This is her faith. Then I got Carlo over there. This is her faith. I got Jimmy back there. This is his faith. This is Kelly's faith, so on and so forth. What's it doing? Now I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I'm rising higher and higher in my faith. And at the end, here I am at the top. See, so I'm sitting there at the top, the little man. But I'm sound. I'm sure. I'm stable. Why? Because I have the right people around me. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another." We need each other, but we need the right people around us. The right people. Not only that, make sure that the people that you have around you, that they speak faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, I joke around with Miss Joy and Miss Janet, because when I first came on staff in 2014, you know, I'm very agreeable. I will do whatever I'm asked to do. The person who I was working for, one of the things he had mentioned at the time was, "I might have to leave healing class." And I remember saying, "Oh, no. Like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll clean the parking lot. I'm not leaving healing class." And he kind of just looked at me. And I had strong reasoning for that, because I knew what it did in my life from 2003 to 2014. That Miss Janet, Miss Joy, Tamara Fernandez, and the different people that I met in healing class, they were full of faith. And physical healing was happening, mental healing was happening, and I wanted to maintain that in my life. We have to have the right people around us. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
So that little snapshot of what I just did, when we read the Word of God, that's what we need to do. Take our time. Yes, we have Bible 365, and it's going to help you. You do all of it. But if as you're going and you're reading in the book of John and you get through the first five scriptures in the book of John and God causes you to sit there for 30 minutes, sit there. Because the Lord's going to speak a word into you that's going to become a part of you and help you in your healing journey. Hopefully that helps you. So God's word speaks to us and gives us all the info that we need to make the right choices. So I want to talk about that a little bit. God's word speaks to us and gives us all the right info. So why can we make the right choice? Why? And here's why. The first thing I want us to realize and acknowledge and accept and always keep deep within our hearts is that God is good. God is good. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I think it all starts out with the question, do you know him? Like, do you really, really know the Lord? Because if you did, you'd know he's good. And if not, then I would encourage you to come up close and be reintroduced to the one who loves you like no other. To the one who paid it all for you and I. And quite honestly, let me applaud you because you're doing the very thing that I needed to do to understand how much he loved me. I went through 20 years of my life, 15 years of my life. I'm not that old. Knowing that he was my savior and only that. And when sickness and disease would attack my body, it was like, well, I guess God heals some and doesn't heal others. Or I guess this is my thorn in the flesh. Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
He is God. He is good to the ends of the earth. And until we establish that on the inside of us, we will always struggle in this area. Because a good God did what he did by sending his son to die on the cross for us. And so God is good, and we have to remember that. We also need to remember that God is faithful. He always comes through. And he'll never let you down. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his gracious covenant, his loyalty for 1,000 generations." I love that. Why? Because all the stories in Scripture about how Jesus went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, all that took place, he's still doing that today. He's faithful. And that's why I loved it when I first started coming to healing class, hearing how he healed Miss Joy, he healed Miss Janet, and hearing the stories of other people in the classroom being touched and receiving healing for their bodies, healing for their minds. One of the things I'll have to tell you is that sometimes we have to renew our thinking, renew our mind, and really change our approach. I think one of the biggest things that really helped me, Miss Joy has told the story, one of the first times I started helping here in healing class, they asked me to come up and pray, and it happened to be with this family who had a little baby named Roman. It was amazing. Miss Joy or Miss Janet, one of them led the prayer. I don't remember. I'm just behind laying hands on the little boy, and we're all praying, and we all said amen, and that little baby boy says done. And I'm like, what in the world? And it wasn't too longer after that we got the report that he was healed of his condition. And I think he's in college now. It's amazing. Sometimes we have to stop and pause and ask ourselves, how would the younger me approach this? And what I mean by that is I love little kids. Actually, I love picking and messing with little kids. But what I found is you can tell a little kid anything. And they'll take it at face value and believe anything. The Bible tells us to approach him as the little children, as a little child. Let me encourage you, as you read the Word of God, approach it with that same wonder in your eyes, that same open heart, and be receptive to what the Word of God has to say. And you'll find that it'll make it a little bit easier for you. God is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. He has exactly what you need when you need it." Why? Because he's faithful. He has everything that we need. Many years ago, before we moved to Houston, we lived in San Antonio, had our first home, and I still remember. I'm young and dumb. I'm that guy who you probably didn't want your daughter to marry because I don't know how to fix anything. And our first winter in our brand new house, first of all, we bought, I don't know what I was thinking, I bought like a 40-year-old house. If you've ever seen Tom Hanks' Money Pit movie, that was the house I bought. And the first freeze, it wasn't even cold. I think it was like 40 degrees outside. And a neighbor comes and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, did y'all buy a fountain?" And I said, "No." He goes, "Well, you might want to come out in your front yard." And I go out in the front yard, and the water's not just pouring in the grass. It's shooting up in the air. And my wife, Gia, looks at me and, "What are we supposed to do?" I'm like, "I don't know what to do. What do you think we should do?" Long story short, we called a friend of ours. His name is James. James is a big country boy from Midland, Odessa. And we called James because James was a friend who was always there for you. He always had whatever it is that you needed in his pickup truck. It was amazing. And we called James. He walks up. He called me Bubba. And he walks up. He goes, "Hey, Bubba, what's going on?" I'm like, "You don't see this big geyser in the middle of the yard?" And he's like, "No worries. I got what you need." James had the shovel. James had the glue. James had the PVC. James did it all. I didn't have to pay anything. More than that, I didn't have to provide the labor. I just stood and received. Can I tell you? You don't have to do anything. It's all been paid for. All the work's been done. You just have to stand and receive. Because he's faithful. He's faithful to you. Because he loves you. So he's good. He's faithful. He's also consistent. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." He's consistent. He keeps doing the same things for you and I, for all of us. He's never stopped healing, and he never will. Amen. And then finally, God heals all manner of diseases. He has no limits. Psalm 103, 2 and 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, and who heals all your diseases." The same God who healed you of your headache, the same God who healed you of your broken arm, the same God who healed you of your diabetes, of your high blood pressure, of your cancer diagnosis, whatever it is you're dealing with, he's still the same God. Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "The Lord will remove some sickness from you." I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "The Lord will remove only the simple things," right? No, all sickness from you. And then Matthew 9:35 says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, including Conroe, Cut and Shoot, Willis, and Montgomery, teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." He's got it all covered. And so we have choices to make. We have to operate like we believe him, like we trust him. And let me just encourage you, you will not be disappointed. So the Bible provides guidance on making the right choices. Number one, base your choices on God's word and not the words of man. I like to say it like this: allow the word of God to be the final words in every situation. I shared that the last time I taught up here about my uncle's testimony and story. Always allow God's word to be final in every situation. His word acts as a guiding light for us. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." I want to look at a few things that I've taken away from that scripture. His words, they illuminate. They provide a source of light that reveals the right path to follow. It guides us through the season. It illuminates. When we get a diagnosis, at times, there's this darkness that tries to lay on us. His word has a way of dispelling that darkness, of pushing it away. Also, his word instructs us, provides practical instructions for living according to God's way. I like to say it this way: God's word brings clarity. Should I have the surgery? Should I not have the surgery? Should I take the medication? Should I not take the medication? Every time. It illuminates, it instructs. His word also brings comfort and encouragement, provides comfort and encouragement during difficult times. The same way when Jesus spoke in scriptures to the storm and said, "Peace be still," his word can cause a storm that you're dealing with to go away. Amen. And peace to enter in. So the comfort and your encouragement that you need comes from the word. And always remember, his words are foundational in our decision making. When faced with choices, we can rely on his word to guide us every time. And so, secondly here, I want to encourage you to trust the words of Jesus and follow his leading. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Stay in the word. Stay in healing class. One of the things I found is this. As a teacher in here, I can't want your healing more than you do. And what do I mean by that? When you're believing God for something, when we're believing God for something, we can't let anything hold us back. If we know that this is an environment of faith, an environment where we're going to learn about God's healing mercies, an environment where we're going to grow, an environment where people are going to influence us and sharpen us, an environment where, you know, we're going to experience God's healing power, I would encourage you to do everything that you can to be here every week. Amen. Same thing with our church services. We got to stay committed to his word and his work. And what happens? There's a peace that comes about us. Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday." Our trust in him, our faith in him, our belief in him sets things in motion. And then Psalm 28, 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped." My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. He's never going to turn his back on you. So we want to base our choices on God's word, not the words of man. We want to trust the words of Jesus and follow his leading. And then finally, determine within yourself that you have the will to live, that you have the will to get better. What I found is there's a lot of people that are like, you know, I can deal with this the rest of my life. Or, you know, I think I'm just ready to go see the Lord. If you're going to experience healing, you have to have the will to live. You have to. Proverbs 18:14 in the Good News Translation, I started off with this because I love it. It says, "Your will to live can sustain you when you are sick. But if you lose it, your last hope is gone." Your will to live can sustain you when you are sick, but if you lose it, your last hope is gone. It was 2013. 2013, yes. So one of the persons who were very influential, one of the people who were very influential in my life when it comes to my relationship with God was my mother. My mother was, she was a quadriplegic. She was in a wheelchair, and as a little girl, she'd gotten stricken with polio and had, you know, during that time, medicine and the things that we learned from the scriptures weren't readily available to her at that time, so it didn't work on her body, but she never let it stop her. And so She was always my hero because she did a lot of things. She worked a full-time job. Believe it or not, she drove a car. They had technology that drove that big, long Cadillac that we had. Went to every baseball game, basketball game, track meet for both me and my sister. Headed up different things at our school. Like, she was just strong. And she was strong about the fact that we were going to go to church, that we were going to have a relationship with God. She was a hero. And I learned from her how I needed to get into the Word of God, mind the Word of God, and find out what the Word had to say about anything and everything. And I'll never forget when she was diagnosed with stomach cancer. She told me and my sister, my father, and as a child, I mean, that's the weight of the world. This is your hero. She's been diagnosed with cancer. What are we going to do? And I'll never forget, she looked at us and she goes, "But baby, don't worry." She goes, "Because I got my Jesus and my Jesus got me." And she would stay in the Word and she would read the Word. She would go to church. She sung in the choir. And anytime someone said, "How are you doing?" She goes, "I'm good. The Lord's healing me." There was a conviction on the inside of her, a belief and a trust in the healing mercies of God. And in my head, I still remember the day she came home after dealing with this for a long time with a clean bill of health. And when the doctor told her, she said, "And you know what? I told him I already knew because my Jesus is a healer." There was a faith on the inside of her. That did so much on the inside of me. I mean, I was like, this is amazing. How many of you know that sometimes we go through things, we have victories, we do well in church, we do well in life, and then sometimes life happens and we lose our way? So my mother, my hero. Several years later, was diagnosed with breast cancer. At this time, because we'd lost my uncle, her brother, my grandmother, her mother, she and my father were going through some things. My mom stopped going to church, stopped reading her word. And I remember that same strong woman, I remember there was something different about her eyes. Now, on the outside, she'd tell my aunts and my cousins and people at the church who called or came by the house, she'd tell them, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm believing God. Oh, yeah, 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 I trust God. Oh, yeah." But I can't say if God did this for me or what, but one day, she and I are just sitting there, and she had just told my father and my sister, "No, I'm believing God. We're going to be good. Y'all go get some food." And they left, and it was just me and her, and she looked at me, and we had this moment, and she said, "Sweetie, I don't want to be here. I want to go and be with the Lord." And it was shortly thereafter that she did go and be with the Lord. Now, to everyone else, it was like, why? What happened? She was believing God. Why would God allow this to happen? Can I tell you, as her son, her being my hero, God didn't allow that to happen. She lost her will to live. She lost her will to live. Never base your faith on someone else, because you and I don't know what's going on in their heart. I can look at you in the eyes and tell you I believe God, but you don't know what's going on in my heart. That's why it's important if we look at the same scripture and we internalize this. The same scripture in the Amplified Version says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily trouble and in sickness." How do we get a strong spirit? Through the Word of God. Through doing everything that I've been talking about tonight. So we have to work at building our spirits up. Why? Because God is faithful. He's good. He's still in the healing business today. I think sometimes we're looking for someone to blame and we want to blame God. Don't do that. Take responsibility for your own faith. Trust and believe God. And watch what he will do for you. Does that make sense, guys?
Amen.
So healing choices. The days ahead are going to be far great. God's still in the healing business. And again, his words are medicine to us. So choose life and choose to get better. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together. I thank you, Lord God, that your word has fallen on good ground. And Lord, I thank you that it's going to produce a hundredfold return in our lives. I thank you that healing power is already at work on the inside of us. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I forgot something. I got homework for you. That piece of paper, that soap, I want to encourage you to go back, set aside time, uninterrupted time, not rush time, not where you're squeezing it in, and read Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43, and soap it out. And ask the Lord, Lord, what would you speak to me about my life during this time? And watch what the Lord will do. Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all have a blessed week.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.